Fantastic. Thanks, Pastor David. Well, you know, we're going to get right into God's Word because the Lord has laid something on my heart which I think is for every person in the room. So would you do something with me this morning? Would you do something to indicate that you want to receive from the Lord? Save us from just another sermon. We want to encounter. We want something fresh. We want new oil. We want new wine. We want the now of God. So would you stand up and position yourself? And I'm going to declare and pray over us this morning. Father, I pray that every heart would have a personal encounter with you today. Father, I pray that you would just use my mouth, but your words would come forth, Father God, like sharp arrows to people's hearts, that there would be healing, that there would be wholeness, that there would be freedom. And I declare it over Real Life Church this morning in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Wonderful. Take your seats. Well, I don't know if, I know that not everybody here has had biological children, but for those of you who have, I'm sure that when you had your first child, that was kind of like the first of first. It was like a moment like no other. And there was new life, there was hope, there was, you know, hope for the future, there was dreams that were all wrapped up in this experience. Well, I can remember when our first daughter, Amy, was born, and we were at King Edward Hospital, and my husband, Rod, had fully convinced me that we were going to have a boy because he had a gut feeling. And so he was so convincing that I didn't have a doubt in my mind. Well, I haven't had any gut feelings. He's had a gut feeling, whatever that really is. But anyway, so I birth this beautiful baby and they take the baby straight away. And I can't see and, you know, and I've got Rod by the neck like this and won't go into the details of what I was saying. And then he's just going, oh, my goodness. Well, I never. And I'm just, I sang to him, what is it? You know, what's happening? What are you trying to say? He goes, just shaking his head, well, what a, that's interesting. And I'm just like, you can imagine, I've just birthed a baby. I feel like I'm a priority. And anyway, he goes to me, well, I thought it was a boy, but it's actually a little girl. And so I remember that so well as though it was yesterday. It was such a significant, a defining moment for me. And I know that many of you mums and dads out there can relate to what I've shared. So some dads were asked a question after the birth of their child. And they were asked, what do you think? How did you feel? And when you saw your very first child, and this was some of the responses, I instantly knew that God was real and that he created us and that he blesses us. Before, I faintly believed. Afterwards, I just knew. I never felt God's love any stronger than that day. Because a baby's first experiences in the world are essentially to do with the parents. In the first few months, it's really the parents that are the ones that are most involved under normal circumstances. But that's actually exactly how our Father God felt when he created man. And he had the first of firsts when he breathed life into Adam and Eve. They heard their first voice. It was their father's voice. They saw their first face. It was their Father God's face. They felt their first touch. It was the touch of their father. Their first emotion was awakened in response to the love of their father. And it was likely their first words may well have been, Abba Father, which means daddy. So mankind was created for this kind of encounter, not to be distant, but to have a face-to-face relationship with Father God. And there's an ache, there's like a God space within all of us that aches for this sense of being in the Father's love and embrace. And we exist through Him and because of Him. And so that was the plan. That was actually how Father God intended us all to be, to have this connection with Him. And this is called having the spirit of adoption or sonship or daughtership. But as we look into the world today, this is not the case anymore. There is this pandemic that has been inflicted upon God's creation both inside and outside the church. And I want to talk to you today about the orphan spirit. A lot of you who I've asked have told me that you've never heard this teaching before. Some of you may have. But I want to just expound on what an orphan spirit looks like. Now, an orphan spirit can be defined as fatherless, disinherited, and completely lost. And it's interesting because in both the Old and the New Testaments, the word orphan means to be without a father, not necessarily to be without a mother. Most of us interpret being an orphan as having neither father or mother. But biblically, it actually means fatherless. And when this happened in the Bible, it changed everything for that family. So when the father died, then that put a whole different social status on the family that remained. And the best example of this is in the book of Ruth. When Naomi and Ruth lose their husbands, their whole social status changes. They find themselves not covered, not protected, because they are now by themselves. And we too, Real Life Church, can see that that happens today, because when a family is broken up, is split up, what happens is whoever takes on that single role has to not only be mum or dad, but they have to be the provider. Yeah? They have to fulfill roles that they were never designed to actually fulfill. And we see the effects of that even right now in 2020. So come with me and let's delve a little bit deeper into this teaching on the orphan spirit and see how it affects us in 2020. Now, let me be really clear. This orphan spirit is not a demonic spirit in the sense that it needs to be cast out, but it's a mindset. It's a pattern of thinking that develops from not having the influence of a father, of a heavenly father. And this spirit can come into our minds and it causes us to have feelings of abandonment, loneliness, alienation, isolation. And the way that orphan spirit can attach itself to us is through our emotions, particularly if you have a background which has seen extreme rejection and extreme trauma. And this can produce incredible feelings of insecurity that need to be compensated. And how are they compensated? Often through performance-driven acts, through performance-driven lives, who see other people as their competition. That's one of the symptoms of an orphan spirit. Often people with an orphan spirit struggle with their self-worth. They find it hard to maintain healthy relationships, often even with those who we love the most. Now, this spirit originated from Satan himself, because for those of you who don't know the background, Satan was once known under another name, which was Lucifer, and he was an archangel in God's kingdom, and he was known as the angel of light, and he was beautiful and full of wisdom. But Lucifer thought he could be God. And in Ezekiel 28, it says this: you were in Eden, the garden of God. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created in wickedness until wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. And because of this, Satan became the first orphan. He became fatherless, disinherited, and lost. He's kicked out of heaven, and his heart is full of all kinds of resentment and wickedness. And his name, Satan, becomes a destroyer, accuser, slanderer. He becomes the complete contrast to God, who is full of goodness, kindness, and mercy. So here is Satan, who had this incredible closeness to Father God, but he makes this choice to live outside God's realm. He believed that he could thrive independent of God's love, and as soon as he did this, he became an orphan. And we see that the first of the release of this orphan spirit came to Adam and Eve. So God creates Adam and Eve to be their father, to be family. And just like his sons and daughters have done through the age, he gives birth to these godly human beings made in the image of himself. And he wants to give us a home. He wants to give us security and abundance. And all of these are found in a relationship with Father God. So the Garden of Eden is home for Adam and Eve, and they have everything they need. But the key to that being their home was that they had this connection with Father. Because home is where the presence of our Father is. Satan sees this, and he comes to disrupt the connection between father, son, and daughter. So they disobey God, and fear and shame enter into their hearts and lives. The end result is that they're out of the Garden of Eden and they no longer have a home. So we can see that the orphan spirit that I'm talking about this morning was released and activated after the loss of a home. And, you know, I don't know about you, but home is my safe place. Yeah? Home is where there is unconditional love, the security, there's provision, there's peace. But a person who carries an orphan spirit does not have access to those things. They live as if they have nowhere to go, like they don't belong. So where do orphans go if they have no home? To a place with a mindset that is full of independent thinking, which becomes so habit-forming that it influences all of their future decisions. Now, some of you are probably thinking, okay, so where's she going with this? Well, let me give you some statistics that were actually back in 2005, so they would be much worse today. 90% of homeless runaway children came from fatherless homes. 71% of pregnant teenagers lacked a father. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 75% of adolescent patients in chemical abuse centres come from fatherless homes. 85% of youth in prisons grew up in a fatherless home. 75% of all prisoners grew up without a dad. They're pretty staggering statistics. I'm sure it's much worse today. But let me clarify that when I say some fathers can still be in their homes, but they are silent, they're abusive, or they are powerless. And so you may have had a dad in your home, but he was not fulfilling the role of your father. And what this comes to show is that one, when someone experiences abandonment and is rejected by their earthly father, that a deep void is created. And the result of that is that it makes us difficult for us to interact with God our Father, because trust has been broken. And so if our role model has not been good, it's so hard to accept the concept of a loving Heavenly Father who unconditionally and absolutely adores us. We have this trust issue with males and with fathers in particular. And it can really hinder us from having intimacy with God. So the orphan spirit seeks to drive a wedge between us and the Father. And he tries to convince us that we can blame all of our troubles on God. And what we do is we move away from God and we look for answers in other places. Yeah? And it creates confusion and distance between us. Often it's really hard for us to have close relationships with those that love us. You know, when one who is operating an orphan spirit feels isolated and abandoned, they can experience deep loneliness. They can be in a crowd full of people but feel like they're invisible. Often seeing themselves as not seen, not heard. I'm not valuable and I'll never be good enough. The other outworkings of an orphan spirit can be defiance, hating authority, full of pride and arrogant. Always, me do, I'll do it my way. I don't need anybody else. I'll do it. I can do everything. I can do anything myself. Sometimes an orphan spirit will be judgmental. Now, as I'm sharing these things, it may sound negative, but what I'm trying to get over to you is that though that spirit, without you even realizing it, may have come into your life through the family of the origin of your first family, because we don't get to choose whose family we're born into. And so often there are circumstances that occur in our families that are the very last thing that we need. So there's this prevailing orphan spirit that's operating in our world, and it's seeking to destroy the workings of God in your life and in mine. And the battle occurs in our minds, because what happens is we feel like we don't measure up. No matter how hard we try, we can never quite please God. And what we do is we play the comparison game. You know, Far looks far more spiritual than I'll ever be. I'm sure she prays a lot more than I do. And we start this whole, oh, look at that family. You look at that couple. They look like they've got it all together. They must be really spiritual. Anybody ever done that in church? Yeah? And we play the comparison game. And we are never quite good enough. These same thought patterns can hinder us from being intimate with our Father God. Proverbs 4:23 says, "More than anything you guard, protect your mind, for life flows from it." Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." But you know, here's the wonderful thing about the Father. When he speaks to us, when he speaks into our heart, into our mind, he views us, his lens views us as his son and his daughter. He never ever sees us as an orphan. He says, "Hey, you're my kid." And when he speaks to us, "You belong to me." Yeah, you're mine. And you've got my love, you've got my protection, you've got my unfailing acceptance. Yeah? Now, When my dad was in Alice Ross King, he only had a few years to live and he had Alzheimer's. And my daughter, Natalie, would go in and sometimes she'd take in her studies and she'd sit with him and do her studies and hold his hand, and he wasn't talking a lot at that point. And when she'd go to leave, she'd get up and she'd say, "Grandpa, I love you." And he didn't, as I said, he wasn't speaking a lot. But he would always say this to her, "I'm glad you belong to me. I'm glad you're in my family." Even in that Alzheimer's state, he knew that she was his granddaughter. He may not have remembered her name, but he knew that she belonged to his family. Do you know that in 50 encounters that people experience in the book of Matthew alone, that people receive exactly what they needed simply based on the goodness of God? So any answers to prayer are not because we have some super spiritual formula, that we have some magic thing that manipulates the hand of God. The reason why your prayers and my prayers are answered is based simply on God's loving kindness and mercy and grace. It's not because of anything that we have done. It's not because we've, you know, twisted ourselves inside out to look spiritual. It's simply because we're his kids and he absolutely adores us and he takes great pleasure in listening. His ear is always listening and attentive to our cry. And he takes such joy and pleasure in listening and hearing and answering our prayers. So how do you know if you're living with the influence of an orphan spirit? Do you operate out of insecurity or jealousy? Are you a workaholic? Or are you a person maybe that at times can show narcissistic behaviours driven for the need for success? Do you find yourself angry and frustrated all the time? Now, I'm not saying that if you have those, you have an orphan spirit. I'm saying that sometimes they show up like this, okay? Sometimes people with an orphan spirit, it's all about their image and their appearance and their possessions. That's where they get their self-worth from. But you know, the challenge goes out to every one of us today to have a look inside of our hearts, to be vulnerable this morning, because there's some deep-rooted things that are in there that need healing, you may have aspects to this orphan spirit. Now, what is a person who understands the spirit of adoption? Yeah? That is living as a son and a daughter who views themselves and sees themselves as one of God's kids. They're secure. They're able to celebrate the accomplishments of others. They feel an acceptance. They cheer other people on. And they're able to know that their identity is found in Christ. They're not looking for it in other places. They know who they belong to. They know who their dad is. Amen? You know, it's so important to be open and vulnerable. And as I said, we don't get to choose our families. And sometimes these things can come into our hearts and minds and we don't even realize they're there. But you know me, for those of you who have seen me over the last nearly 2 years, I love to get on the solution side of the message today, because we want to be those who receive the spirit of adoption that was achieved by Jesus on the cross. Romans 8:15-16, "And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty leading you back into fear of never being good enough. But you have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God. And you will never feel orphaned. For as he raises up within us, our spirits join in saying the words of tender affection, 'Beloved Father.'" for the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved child. I'm going to say that again in case some of you still don't understand that you belong to God. You are his beloved child. And we have been placed, when we gave our hearts to Jesus, we were placed in the eternal care of the one who has chosen us. You can't earn it. You can't achieve it in your own strength and efforts. You see, Abba Father means daddy. It's a name of intimacy. And you and I have been called into a relationship of intimacy. Not of distance, but of intimacy with our Creator, with our designer God, your Father. So here's the thing, Real Life Church. It's a sealed deal. You can't undo your adoption. He will never abandon or reject you ever again. And you know what? You can do nothing in your own strength to make him love you anymore. And you can do nothing in your own strength to make him love you any less. It doesn't matter how many times we stuff up. He is so biased. He is so one-eyed about us that he insists that he is going to love us unconditionally no matter what we do. In Ephesians 1 it says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons of Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You see, the spirit of adoption or sonship overcomes the orphan spirit. And in Luke 15, 11 to 32, you see the working of the orphan spirit in the story of the prodigal son. There's a father who loves his son, but his son decides to rebel against authority and he leaves the family home, takes all the money that's his, and is in rebellion and defiance. But you know what? Just like our Father God, the prodigal's father never stopped looking out for his son, never ever stopped believing for his return, never abandoned him, even though he had taken his inheritance, was off squandering or living a very ungodly life. He still hung in there, still believed in him, still believed that he could call out the greatness in his son. And you know, I want to say to each one of you today in this room that Father God has never lost sight of you either. He is so attentive to your cry. Whatever state you're in this morning, he never leaves your side. His presence is with you, even though you may not recognize it. You may say, well, I don't feel anything, Bethwyn. It doesn't matter what you feel. He said he'll never leave you or forsake you. He's stuck to you like glue. Amen? And so here's the prodigal son. He goes off and he comes home and his father is so delighted to see him that he just showers him with unconditional love and acceptance. But there's a twist to the story. Who likes a twist in a story? There's a twist in the story because the father has another son, but he's the guy who stayed home. He's the guy that did the honourable and right thing. But he too was living with an orphan spirit because his attitude and his mindset made him feel like he was invisible to his dad. And he was the victim in this story. My brother does all the wrong things and I do all the right things. And yet you shower your love and acceptance and wealth on him and you never recognize me. You never see me. I'm invisible. You never think about me, Dad. Both sons did not understand the unconditional love of their father. That's why they struggle with his actions towards both of them. But in different ways. Can you see that? I want to look at John 14 where Jesus is explaining that everything he does is to make known the love of the Father to the world. And let's pick it up from verse 7. It says, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father and it is sufficient for us." So this is when Jesus gets a little bit frustrated and ticked with Philip and responds in verse 9 by saying this, "Have I been with you for so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." So one of the main roles of Jesus is to show you and I what the Father is like. And one of the most incredibly moving examples of this is when Jesus washes his disciples' feet. He was showing them that Father God is loving and kind. He was showing them that he is committed and always and ever present. That he doesn't condemn our stuff ups, but he picks us up again and again and again. And he says, "My son, my daughter, have another try. Go again. Don't give up. I will never abandon or disqualify you." Jesus was washing their feet to show them how the Father feels about them and to demonstrate how precious and valuable that they are to his heart. Can you just, oh, wow. I just have such an incredible sense that the Father this morning is reaching out to every single person in this room. And he is wanting you to have a personal encounter with the depth and the magnitude, the height, the width of his love towards you right now, today, this day. That it's not just for the people who were you having their feet washed, but it's for you this morning. And that he comes with his arms and he puts them around you and he embraces you. And there is this incredible intimacy and affection that he so longs to have with every son and every daughter. Amen? Now, this is a two-part series, because there's just so much more that I want to share with you about this whole idea. And so next week I'm going to be looking at the start of the healing journey for someone who has maybe got an orphan spirit. Plus I'm looking at what a person who has a spirit of adoption or sonship, and how the heart of the Father is so longing for intimacy with his sons and his daughters, not in a religious way, not through works that we can do, but through leaning into him and listening and being still. How often do we forget to do that? We get so busy, sometimes doing good stuff, but we're not leaning in. And if there has been anything that I have said today that may have resonated with you, what I want to encourage you to do is to spend some time thinking and praying this week about any areas that you've recognized as I've just been sharing and describing this, and say, yeah, Bethan, I can see that in my life. I can see that I really struggle with that particular aspect. Because what I'm wanting to do, and I think this is why the Holy Spirit has put it so strongly on my heart, is because I want us as a church to move forward towards living and walking as sons and daughters, of understanding what it means to be somebody who has adoption, that you have been adopted by the Father. You are an orphan no more. It's time to come home. You know, the devil wants to keep us living like orphans. Just like Adam and Eve, he wants to disconnect us from Father God. He wants us to feel homeless. He wants us to feel isolated. He wants us to feel invisible. But this morning, I want to declare over Real Life Church that you are not an orphan, but that you are a son, you're a daughter, and you belong to God. And so next week we're actually going to be taking some specific dedicated time for people to come and receive prayer and healing in these areas. So can I say to our online family, please make sure you don't miss our service next week. And for those of you who have joined us here at the 9 a.m, make sure that you're here to hear part two of this second series on the orphan spirit. I want to say goodbye now to those of you who are watching online. Thanks for joining us this morning. Please make sure you like us on social media and share this message with others if you have been blessed by it and want to share it.